Are you ready? Call the meeting to order. First item of business, we need somebody to approve the minutes dated March 8th.
So moved.
All right. Representative Kath moves the minutes dated March 8th, 2011. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Today, members, we have Representative Kahn and a couple of bills that she would like to have a hearing on, of course. The first one, Representative Kahn, you are wanting to discuss House File 662, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right, I'll make the motion to move House File 662 to get it before us so we can have the debate. And Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, House File 662. House File 662 before us, which deals with the issue of medical marijuana, not the legalization of it, but actually the growing of a crop for export. And it's clearly the most profitable crop. But this bill is just out for information purposes and to show interest. I do have a witness here, Mr. Peter Lander, who is a Colorado farmer who will say a few words about his experience. And this bill would clearly be useless without legalization in the state. You would really have to start with that base of a demand for it before you could talk about export. So, Peter? Sorry. But I think this is interesting because this is a Minnesota farmer who, well, he can tell you his story.
Okay.
In just a few minutes.
So please state your name and who you represent for the committee for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, my name is Pete Lander, and I'm a Minnesota native. I moved to Colorado approximately 16 months ago.
Welcome. So please proceed, Mr. Lander.
I in southwest Minnesota by Walnut Grove, I own a fairly small farm by today's standards of 250 acres. My main crop for the last 10 years has been native seed production. I work with the Department of Transportation and with seed wholesalers. I moved to Colorado to pursue what at the time was allowed in their state law to be a independent contractor, which means I would operate with my own corporation and produce medical marijuana for centers or these distribution centers or dispensaries, as they're commonly known. The laws change there a lot now. That has been outlawed, and I've had to become an employee of a center. There's also a term of residency requirement in Colorado, which I do not meet until I've lived there for 2 years, and so I've had to get in cooperation with some dispensaries.
So Mr. Lander, you're farmed by Walnut Grove. You still farm down there, and then you're also farming down in Colorado. Did I get that right?
I've kind of laid off the flower seed thing. It's quite intensive. We have several hundred species we grow, and on any given year, I harvest between 20 and 40 of them. Last year, I harvested two through workers I could trust while I was away. It's not possible for me to be in two places at once. So I do still have cattle that I have an apricot in charge of, but my business has probably in Minnesota has dropped off by in the neighborhood of 80 to 90%. I believe I'm doing a lot better in Colorado.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question, Mr. Lane.
The Representative Kahn asked me to talk about, I think she wants me to talk about the economics in Colorado and how it's
just
working.
Just very briefly.
Representative Kahn, thank you.
And it's all quality-based. Colorado has had a black market, you know, as we all would assume for a long time. This money was going in large part, I believe, to Mexico, and now it's staying in the state, and the trickle down to lumber yards, HVAC places, on and on. It's been a real positive thing in the community I moved to, which is Rifle, Colorado.
And this is a question, I guess, whether it's Representative Kahn or Mr. It's Lander, right?
That's
Mr.
right.
Mr. Lander? Either one of you. You know, I sat down, my children, who at the time when I was a freshman, and just visited with them about their thoughts on legalizing marijuana for medical purposes, if you will. And I have multiple sclerosis. And under the language and during the debate, it came to light that I would qualify to be a card-carrying member of the Minnesota Medical Marijuana Club, if you will. And I visited with my children on that. And at the time, my son, who was in sixth grade at the time, he said, "Dad, I think I could support anything that would make you feel better." Right? My daughter responded very quickly, without hesitation. She said, "Even if it turned Dad into a pothead." That's what she said. "Even if it turned Dad into a pothead." A few years later, when I visited with my children about this as well, my son was in junior high then, and he came forward and said, "Dad, remember when we had that conversation? I said I would be able to support anything that would make you feel better." So, of course, he says, "I changed my mind." He said, "Because I have seen kids that he knew in school how marijuana was a gateway drug, and it led them into doing some harder drugs." Your thoughts or comments on that as well, if you'd like to address that, please.
Yeah, I'd love to address that. You know, medical marijuana is for sick people and people with disabilities and pain management, and it's a tool to get them away from the kidney and liver damaging pharmaceuticals that are so readily available. In many cases, it leaves people more clear-headed than the pharmaceutical muscle relaxants, painkillers, whatever it may be. And furthermore, I think we realize it's not the thing to put our children on when they're trying to learn things and when they're relatively healthy and when they're in an experimental age, and curious age, or point in their life. And I don't really see the... I don't see it being a gateway drug for sick people, I guess.
Yeah. So, and thank you for that. And like I said, when, in the eyes of my children anyway, perception is reality. And what we were saying was it was sending, what my children were saying, it does send somewhat of it sends a mixed message. If we're saying, you as parents are telling us that, no, this isn't the way to go, and make sure that we're not steering clear, make sure that we are steering clear of that, and then you as a legislator, Dad, are coming back and saying, well, this is probably a good thing for people that would fall under, you know, the elements that you spoke of as well. And so it was a mixed message to my children, and a difficult one to overcome. And response, please.
Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chair, another thing I'd like to point out, too, is that what's going on in Colorado now genetics-wise is the cultivation of different strains of marijuana to aid different ailments. Kind of the stuff that was around... you know, from the 60s to lately, and largely used on the black market has been, it's got different cannabinoids in it than some of the stuff that's being bred for medicinal use now. One of the cannabinoids, and these are just, that's a word for active chemicals in the sap of the plant, if you will. CBDs have been clinically shown to reduce swelling. They have an anti-anxiety effect, which is just the opposite of what we think of paranoid dope smoker in, you know, years past. So it really is a diverse plant with many, many different strains that act differently. And furthermore, these cannabinoids can be separated in a lab and have the plant matter taken out. And you know, you can design this nature's medicine to be symptom specific.
Okay. Thank you. We do have some questions. First, Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Come in just a minute late, and I didn't get all the conversation, but I got enough to hear you talking about your kids and
yes, sir.
And issues. And I tell you, as a man who lost his wife to cancer 4 years ago, you get down in some stages of that, and you'll do anything to protect your loved one. And that's about all I'm going to say about that. But you see them in pain, and what drugs don't touch them. And anyway, but on the mixed message, the hypocrisy, here's something I get back in my district, and I've heard it more than my district. How many municipal liquor stores we got funding municipal government? Kids know that. Hypocrisy. DWI courts. I mean, we're collecting that money in one hand and it costs us more on the other. I mean, there are some more than one mixed message that we give our children, and they know this stuff. They're very aware when we talk out of both sides of our mouth. And I'm glad of that, because they're going to help keep us honest in the long run. So just want to share that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. And that's why it's important to hold the hearings, so we can have these conversations. Most definitely. Representative Anderson, Paul. Oh, no, excuse me, Representative Bruce Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Lander, you mentioned that things have changed from the 60s to the present, and I'm just wondering, are you working with doctors or with scientists or people that are growers yourself that have documented it? Is there documentation that people can see? I mean, I hear you say that, but I don't see it written. So.
There is a
Mr. Lander.
A lab that I've worked with in Denver called Full Spectrum Laboratories, and they do what's called a gasification test, and it separates the different cannabinoids. So they don't do the clinical trials as far as determining, you know, what symptoms this may work for, and I'm not certain who the physicians are or who might be doing that, but I do know that they are able to take a sample and break it down and tell you, you know, exactly what's in it as far as cannabinoids, and you can go to, they have information available that explains, the differences in these chemicals as far as effect on the body and mind.
Representative Anderson, follow-up? Right. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lander, remind me, is medical marijuana is legal in Colorado?
Yes, it
correct?
Is.
One of the handouts we have here talks about $2.2 million net sales taxes in Colorado this year. What's the rate of sales tax in Colorado?
Mr. Landers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that it fluctuates from community to community. You know, in the neighborhood of 10%, there's city taxes and state taxes. And honestly, I'm not really in the storefront end of it. I'm a farmer, but I've been, you know, paying attention. I don't handle the tax end of things.
Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Chairman, if I may ask you a couple more questions. Do you have a number of how many people, the percentage of the population in Colorado may have a prescription to use medical marijuana?
I do not know that number.
Mr. Landers.
I do not know that number.
Okay.
I'll conclude. Szymanski. Representative Kahn?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this is one of the reasons why I don't really want to deal with this bill at this time. I put it in just to point out the economic impact. I'm not going to ask for any action to be taken on it. It's clearly, I think, as Peter talks about the problems existing in Colorado and how their laws are in continual flux, that even if you have the internal market, which may be sufficiently large to do it, it's a difficult proposition that would require a lot of thought before we dealt with it. The problem of doing something where the first thing you have to do is send it over state lines is clearly insurmountable at this point, which is why I don't want to move the bill at this time. I just wanted to take this opportunity to point out, and so you have two or three articles that we've passed out. One is about the proposal in Oakland which the feds have jumped on and stopped. One is about the very interesting stuff that's going on in Montana, which has passed a medical marijuana bill and has built a huge economy, has been built up around that, and now there's an effort going on with the new legislature to look at repeal of that. and the economic, the effects that it will be done on that in terms of investors that have come in. In the Oakland situation, major national investors were investing into that, thinking that their proposition of total legalization was going to pass, and it didn't. So it's just, I don't want to have any action on those things. I just wanted to put it out to point out the economic issue. And I also put out, for both of these bills, I put out a graph that looks at employment in Minnesota, how it's been, I think this is being used in other committees, how it's totally flat. We were trying to get the information on agriculture employment, and we didn't get it. But I think what I want to say is that the second bill, particularly, which we want to move forward, although both bills would be, are jobs bills. Jobs and employment and economic development is what we're talking about. So I can let, unless there are any specific questions related to the farming of it, I'd like to let Peter go and get to the second bill.
Okay. Specific to the farming, Representative Paul Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, since this is the Ag Committee, talk to us about how many acres is it irrigated in a greenhouse? Do you have people driving up at night stealing it? How do you grow it? Okay. Mr. Lander.
Mr. Chair, this is a quality-driven business, and that is why I feel that the Mexican cartels have lost out. You can have an above-ground taxable market, but if the medicine on the black market is better, that's where people will go. It's grown mostly indoor with artificial lighting. It has been developed in the last two decades, and the way we do it is organically because the sulfur and salt are less, and if you smoke it, it's better for your lungs. It makes you cough less. Our success has been, I think, due to looking at the patient, looking from the patient's point of view, and that comes around in time. There's a lot of people in Colorado that don't look at it this way, and things are changing really rapidly. The market share, it seems, is huge to the folks who know how to do it and do it right and do it healthy. We are using a steel frame building that's insulated. It's approximately 200 feet by 200 feet, and we're able to grow enough for our own dispensary and then export to other dispensaries within the state. It's not distribute wholesale to other dispensaries in the state. The law says right now in Colorado that we can only sell 30% more. We can only wholesale 30% more than we sell in our store. There's 90 pages of these rules that really change things. It's interesting to me that each storefront has to have their own grow facility. It's like a liquor store having to have its own brewery, which is really odd to me. I think there's a lot of things that Minnesota could do better than Colorado has done. It takes a lot of studying. There's not been any crime that in my personal business at all. And I have read newspaper articles from law enforcement in Denver that states the robbery rate on a dispensary is actually less than a liquor store and far less than banks. There's a lot of mandated security with it. The state has mandated a 48-hour video loop outside and inside the premises. That obviously deters people. There's, I think, 16 cameras on our site that are being recorded all the time, keypad entries and two locked doors that you have to go through before you can get to any of the medicine. So there are mandated securities in place that seem to be working quite well from my perspective.
Yeah. We have a number of questions. And members, again, this is informational hearing only, according to Representative Kahn. We're not going to be voting on this, and we'll respect that. We'll take up about 10 more minutes on this. Representative McElfatrick. All right, Representative Bruce Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Lander, we have an article in front of us that says North Dakota farmers renew hemp licenses.
No, that's the next bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, similar to this situation, what kind of scrutiny, and when the bill was passed to allow hemp to be grown in, or medical marijuana to be grown in Colorado, was there any lawsuits, and did farmers have problems with this, with from the standpoint of the state agricultural department, or from DEA, or other people that would have scrutiny over this issue?
Sure.
Mr. Lander.
Mr. Chair, I'd lay out the scenario that finally helped me decide to go to Colorado, which was that the this passed in Colorado in 2006, and it really took a slow start. People were really cautious because it was still federally illegal, and it remains federally illegal. However, about 18 months ago, I listened to a lot of public radio, and I heard President Obama explain that the DEA should not arrest people that are acting within state law. And that's what really instigated the boom, if you will. From that point on, and it really took off, and it seems that the fear is diminished that from the DEA, and there has been arrests for people acting outside of state law, missing a technicality or having a few plants more than they have justification for, and this kind of thing happens from time to time. Thanks.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Lander, does the law or the rules in the state of Colorado, do they, are there mandates that somebody has to come in and inspect or to touch base with you either quarterly or two times a year, or is there, you know, oversight from the state?
Mr. Lander.
Mr. Chair, the state is currently adding mandates. Like, seems like every time I turn around, there's new things that come out with it, and there, I believe there are plans for inspections. We have not been inspected yet, and we've been open since our grow facility has been in operation since October, so it hasn't been a real long time. But from what I hear from the guys that run the business, and there will be inspections in the near future.
Thank you. Anderson. Representative Swazinski.
Mr. Chair, are your thoughts, if this would someday, obviously we're not going to address this today, but to on your 250 acres in Redwood County where you farm, would you plan on growing it there in Redwood County? And then I have a second question.
Mr. Lander?
Mr. Chair, that is precisely why I'm here. I would love to return to Minnesota. I love Minnesota. Colorado's nice. It's got scenery. I'm a farmer, and I love black soil, and if I could grow healthy medicine for people and that would allow me to be here, that's exactly what I try to do. Yeah.
Representative Swazinski.
And then just kind of in a different direction, this can be for either one of you, Mr. Chair. Like, has there been any studies as far as the carcinogenic effect, as far as cancer-causing agents within marijuana that would be attributable to anything?
Representative Kahn or Mr. Landers?
I'm not aware of that, Mr. Chair.
I'm not aware of that either. And specifically, you know, it's kind of, I think the issue that we're looking at is the use in medical marijuana. I can make one comment about, this is not a medical marijuana legalization bill. I voted for it when other people had it. I have not carried that bill in it. My interest in that was provoked in the year, and many of us may remember, Representative Willard Munger, who died of cancer, and my brother, significantly younger than me even, died of cancer in the same year. It was interesting to look at the difference. Representative Munger was having intense chemotherapy, was really miserable, was really physically being hurt by it, was losing weight, was, you could clearly see him whenever you visited him, he was clearly suffering. Many of his friends in the, you might call it the 60s type community, offered to get him marijuana on the street scene. And he totally refused because it was illegal. He was, even if he would support legalization, he completely refused to have anything to do with this. My brother, also dying at the same time, living in the lower part of Manhattan, just whenever he felt he needed it, went out on the street and got some. Didn't prolong his life, probably, but when he was dying, he was robust, he was, you know, he looked okay. He was in good shape. His anxiety was well down. He was telling jokes and talking about going home up till the day before he died. And just the different, and that's not obviously a medical analysis. It's just a personal look at two people and their different reactions. And this is what we've heard all the time, but it's only anecdotal. You know, it's not data on it. So.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, another point to that topic and cancer and the causing of it. I believe it's, you know, as a grower, and I also do have a prescription, and someone who uses my own medicine. It's really apparent that the manner of cultivation is super important with cannabis. It takes things out of the soil and puts it into its flowers. It was used around Chernobyl to clean the radioactivity out of the soil. So it is super important that when you grow this plant, you do it in a clean way, and you're mindful of your fertilizers, where your fertilizers come from, the components in them. You know, these I think, I believe it probably could be carcinogenic if it was grown in the wrong way. Absolutely, you know. So that's all.
Well, thank you. And you know, I realize this is the Ag Committee, but we have so many other questions as well. And so, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go to the bill, and have a question for both Representative Kahn and the witness. So it looks like this is a section in agriculture law. So the Agriculture Department would be the regulating agency.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's more relevant when we get to the next bill, which we're looking to move on. That's why the complications of dealing with medical marijuana, particularly when it's not legal in the state, are so great that I don't want to deal with the parts of that bill.
Representative Hansen?
Mr. Chair, it looks like it's an 18K, and so it is the Ag Department. And it has,
well,
it talks about fees, so I'm just trying to get a handle on if in Colorado the regulating agency is the Ag Department. Is that correct?
Mr. Lander.
Mr. Chair, I believe the regulating agency in Colorado is the Department of Revenue, and that's where all of our fees are paid anyway.
Representative Hansen?
Mr. Chair, but the inspections of your facility, is that done by revenue or is that done by agriculture?
Mr. Landers.
Mr. Chair, I couldn't tell you. I'm not certain. I don't handle that end of the business.
Representative Hansen?
Mr. Chair, and thank you, and I realize we're not going to vote on this today, but I think that is kind of the key reason why it's here, is that it's the Ag Department. So it looks to me like the bill is germane to be here,
yes,
and that it would be fees that would come to the Ag Department, and then the staff would have to come to the Ag Department to administer the program is what I see, and I just want to get that on the record if that's correct.
That is correct. Thank you, Representative Hansen. And you know, the other thing, too, is some of the questions that you'd have, you brought up about crop rotation, fertility, profitability per acre. The thing is, because of my opening comments and statements, I'm even hesitant to even ask those questions to give someone false hope as far as my support or others. And so on this particular bill. So, Representative Kahn, then I'm going to withdraw my emotion, right? Withdraw my emotion. Do you have any final words on this bill?
Just the sense that it makes no sense to proceed on this bill unless we've at least started from the base that Colorado has of having a local base so you don't have to do anything to cross state lines.
All right. Thank you so much. Mr. Landers, thank you for your testimony. And your farm here in Minnesota is just outside of my district. I think it's in Representative Torkelson's district. Walnut Grove, do you have a Walnut Grove?
I do have Walnut Grove, Mr. Chair.
All right. So, yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for that as well. Okay. You can visit with Representative Torkelson and keep him updated on what your plans are for your farm ground there, if you would, please. So.
I could possibly supply natural fertilizer for the operation.
There you go. Mr. Landers, you got a new business partner. All right? I'm teasing. Thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for coming up here. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
All right. Have a safe trip back. Representative Kahn.
The next one, I think, is...
All right. We need someone to move House File 759. All right. Representative Eakin will move House File 759, be recommended to pass, and be referred to public safety. Right. Representative Kahn, to your bill.
Mr. Chairman, I have, I'm not going to go through reading the pieces of material. I've given you probably more things than you want in your flyer to learn about this subject. But House File 759 has been passed several times in various forms. Starting, I have a former legislator who will testify to it. Essentially what House File 759 does is it joins eight other states as a message to the federal government. It has us ready to jumpstart the process if the federal government would grant a permit. So we're not going to do anything until the federal government has really changed on it. I do believe I have an amendment, Mr. Chairman, to the bill also, which I apologize. I had thought was in the original bill. It turned out the engrossment that the revisers did, and I'd like the amendment moved so that we discuss the bill as a whole.
Okay. Representative Kahn, the A1 amendment, right?
Yes.
All right. I'll move the A1 amendment. Members, do you all see that? And we'll move that to get the bill in the shape of the author would like to discuss. Is there any... Representative Kahn.
The purpose of this amendment is to make it absolutely clear that we're not expending money and not moving forward on this until we have an indication from the federal government that it will be legal on a federal level.
Thank you. Any questions to the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion fails.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is I'd like to call your attention to a piece of material that I've put out. I'm sorry I didn't update it, although I know I could have. This is from the North Dakota House of Representatives, and then attached to it is a brochure on industrial hemp, the plant, the law, and the solution. That should be in your folder.
Representative Kahn, we do have a copy of that.
And I always thought if I could only morph myself into Representative Monson, this would be a much easier bill. He's a Republican legislator. He's the Speaker. Pretty sure he still is Speaker of the North Dakota House. He's a farmer who farms just right up against the Canadian border, and I think he's also actually a minister and is part-time. So I'm sorry if you could just kind of imagine that and wish we had him here in front of you instead of me. It would probably be a little easier.
How do you argue with that, right?
But Representative Monson passed the bill in North Dakota in 1999, I believe. So they're 12 years in front of us. And he is one of the farmers that has, so the state, they've passed it, the state has given him a permit, and he's trying to get a permit he could proceed, actually, legally in the state, but he doesn't want to do a conflict with DEA. So he and another farmer have sued. This is an ongoing suit. I don't think it's been settled at the final level yet. Are suing DEA to grant them a permit to comply with the state law in North Dakota. So, in a sense, what my bill does is not emulate North Dakota, but follow North Dakota. In a sense, let them do the hard work up front. And then that's why all the language about when DEA grants a permit and why the language in the amendment went in. So the bill has two purposes. One, we join the eight other states to show the federal government that there's a desire to do this. And we also have us ready to jumpstart the process if the feds ever grant the permit, and the most likely place would be in North Dakota. I'm not going to read these to you. You can read the letter from Representative Monson, and you can also read the, and I have his website and phone number. He's very happy to talk to anybody, and also the brochure, which gives pretty good arguments. There's also the newspaper article, which Representative Anderson referred to earlier, that, you know, was the story from the Legal Ledger about the North Dakota about the North, you know, about the North Dakota farmers not being granted their permit. Let me say a few words about. This was reminded to me that last time I did this bill, so I shouldn't be remiss.
So
these are chocolate truffles with hemp seeds on top, and accompanied by red, white, and blue napkins to show the patriotic nature of this bill.
So, Representative Kahn, we have a question here. Will we be breaking the law by consuming these brownies? That was the question.
No, absolutely
so,
not.
So, and this is why.
I will show the. This I will also show an economic argument. These brownies are made with this hemp seed purchased openly in. The big department store didn't have it. I have to go to one of the co-ops to get it. This was purchased openly. The price on this was $8.89 for 8 ounces, half a pound. Looking at a similar crop which we could be growing in Minnesota, that's sunflower seeds, and I should have gotten it. It's $3.99 a pound, so this is less than a pound. So you can just kind of think about the profitability of those.
And I would just like to state that comment was surely a joke, because everybody knows that Representative Kahn would not set us up like that. We all know that.
Definitely.
You're a good person.
Definitely.
You're a
somebody
good person.
Somebody mentioned, though, that if you have to take a drug test in the next few hours. it's not clear. I don't know that. But the seeds, if anyone wants to taste the seeds in there, pure form, I can also pass that around too.
Thank you. We do have a question. Representative Franzen.
Yeah. I was just going to make a comment about poppy seeds. That it's obviously nothing. You can't really take a drug test either.
Yes, I heard that.
Thank you for that. All right.
Anyway,
Representative Kahn.
As that's going around, you can see all the health benefits and so forth. But last year, I miss Mary Ellen Otremba, who used to specifically speak. She was a talented seamstress, and she would speak about how much she liked using hemp fabric and hemp
That's right.
thread and so forth.
Chair Otremba, she is my friend.
Yes.
And you're right, she was a strong advocate for this as well. Thank you, Representative Kahn.
But anyway, last year we always ran into gubernatorial threats. We ran into veto threats. You know, I think Representative Junkie several times put it in his omnibus agriculture bill. And we never, and he always, you know, if it had been my bill, I would have let the governor veto it, kill ag and vets for something that makes sense. But, you know, I couldn't give Representative Junkie that advice on his bill. The one thing that was done, and this may be more relevant for the next committee, is that in his last agricultural, omnibus ag bill, he did put a requirement for a study on how are the places that have legalized it, how are they dealing with the, with the enforcement issue. So you do have a report from the Agriculture Department that is in your packet.
All right. Excuse me, Representative Kahn, we do have a question. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, thank you for the brownies. And
truffles.
Or truffles, I'm sorry. So.
Truffle cakes.
I was wondering about the suing of the DEA. Is there a timeline as far as when a decision would be made on that lawsuit? Or
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, apparently not, because I haven't. I'm sorry, I meant to contact Representative Monson and didn't. But apparently it's, apparently not by the time it gets through the full legal process. They do intend to take it up to the Supreme Court if necessary.
Representative Eakin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn, thank you for that. And I was wondering, too, about the 8 other states. I know, and over here, Representative Kahn, here.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, at the front of the table here.
Okay. Okay.
To my left, you're right.
There you go.
What's in the brownies?
Yeah.
I'm only
makes me involved. Invisible, I guess.
That's Representative Eakin.
I was wondering, as far as where it's most conducive to grow, I've heard that the northwest part of our state is actually one of the areas that's considered most conducive for growing this hemp. And the 8 other states, are they all in the Midwest? Do you have a list of those states?
No, they're not. I think Vermont is. Sorry, I didn't break the list. I think Vermont is one of them. I think the state of Washington is one, and so forth. I can I can get you that list if we're interested. But I think you just go to history. When the War Department, hemp was grown in Minnesota extensively, mainly in southeastern Minnesota, I believe, during the war, when the supplies of material to make rope were threatened by the war effort. And in fact, it's a very prevalent plant. I have found it in growing in front of the administration building on the agriculture campus at the University of Minnesota. We've riding along the Root River Trail with some friends at an official state DNR stop. There was a plant about 8 feet tall, and so forth. The best witness I was going to have couldn't come today. He's available if you want to look at other, if you want to have more discussion. Professor George Webline from the Department of Agriculture, who will talk about the genetics. And one of the things, projects that he's actually working on, is he's working on a project to do a totally visually distinguishable form of industrial hemp. You know, but he knows all about the differences, the genetic differences between those. And he has a great video, which I can, a YouTube video, and he starts out, when he presents it before committee, he starts out showing this wonderful patch of very high industrial hemp growing. And where is it? It's right behind, in my district actually, right along the railroad tracks behind the TCF stadium. So it is all over the state. And so I think the fact that the war program was specifically centered in Minnesota and in the Midwest would show, at least at that time, that was a high, you know, high value place to do it.
Right. Representative Eaton, follow up. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe I could have the Ag Department help out a little bit. I want to focus on something in the report and then the deregulatory issue on noxious weeds.
Okay.
Because I have to, every year on a farm I own, go take a machete and cut hemp down. Cattle don't eat it. It grows in the pasture, grows in the barnyard where there was manure, grows very big, but I have to, as a landowner, control that as a noxious weed. And so I'm wondering if one of the effects here is what would need to be done in terms of noxious weed laws that would maybe help on reducing costs to landowners, local governments. I believe with the noxious weed law that if the landowner doesn't take care of it, then the local government is responsible for controlling it and then assessing it back to the landowner. And just wondering, on that end of this whole question of industrial hemp, what would be the noxious weed piece of this in terms of the regulatory nature at the state and local level?
Yes, thank you. Representative Kahn, do you know the answer, or do we have someone from
A little bit. I mean, Department of Agriculture can do it. The way the bill is done, it would take care, that would be taken out immediately when the bill was passed, before we went to the cultivation issue. And if you look on the last page of the report from the Department of Agriculture, the next to the last page, I guess, the last page is the Minnesota Police Federation one, it talks about that, it says, today hemp is not a priority species for noxious weed enforcement in Minnesota. Occasionally, the MDA or county agricultural inspectors receive calls regarding hemp, but they usually send it as a law enforcement issue. And currently, they're reviewing its noxious weed laws and procedures through a newly created noxious weed advisory committee, and is considering the removal of hemp from the list. So that's from the Department of Agriculture as of December. That's what I know about.
Yeah, could we have Mr. Friesel? You please address that question for the committee, and please state your name and who you represent for the record, and if you need Representative Hansen to ask his question again, I'd be happy to do so.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Gere Friso with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, the Director of the Plant Protection Division.
Welcome.
I think I recall Representative Hansen's question, and relating to the noxious weed law. The noxious weed law was revised a couple years ago, and it does allow now for the commissioner to designate noxious weeds. There is now a review committee in place. They have prepared a preliminary list of prohibited and restricted noxious weeds. So this would potentially be a conflict, I guess, with state law.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Friso, so would passing 759 automatically remove cannabis from the noxious weed list, or would it require a commissioner's order to do it in addition to 759?
Mr. Friso.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe the commissioner would have to remove it with the commissioner's order. But
Representative Hansen.
And Mr. Chair, that would be a public process involving input from folks on local governments or the farm community on whether that was a wise decision or not.
Ms. Friesel?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, typically we do seek input and comments for those sorts of commissioner's orders. Yes.
Okay. Hansen. Follow up. Representative Swazinski, a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So where some of where industrial hemp is currently grown, what are some of the safeguards in place as far as to make sure everything's legit, so to speak? Or
Representative Kahn or Mr. Representative
Kahn? Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of witnesses, I think, that want to speak very briefly to this, and maybe it would be better if they would have it. One of the things that has been said slightly facetiously is that, and I think Mr. Lanter would agree with that, is that the best thing you could do to totally control the outside growing of the potent marijuana would be to plant industrial hemp all over the state. Because what would happen is that if the genetics, the cross-pollination of them would totally ruin, actually, both crops. Much more ruin the drug crop than the other one. It's which is why I think all of the serious growing is now being done indoors, with not only under lights, but with incredibly control of not even allowing pollen to get into the buildings. So it's not. And Mr. My testifier or a person who, if we want to, we could contact him by cell phone, but I don't know if it's. But the geneticist is kind of an expert on, you know, on that issue. But
on
I'd like to have. I do have two people. I don't know if Chris Radick is here. Yes. Okay. Two people that you're used to testifying before the committee. I have Tom Peterson from the Farmers Union and Chris Radich from the Farm Bureau. And I also have special guest, a former legislator who carried this bill, former Representative Steve Daler. And I think he'd like to say.
Okay.
Too. I don't know what order you want.
All right. But Mr. Friso, thank you.
Thank you.
If the testifiers would like to make their way to the front, I see Mr. Raddatz. Mr. Peterson, is that okay, Representative Kahn? We'll take the farm groups first.
Yep.
All right. Please state your name, who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chris Raddatz, Director of Public Policy for Farm Bureau. And I'll be rather brief this morning. Yep. In our public policy book, we have two provisions in there. Number one is we support researching industrial hemp as an alternative crop. Our second position is that we support legalizing the production of industrial hemp as an alternative crop, providing that adequate safeguards are in place. And I think, well, when we're looking at those safeguards, obviously there's the issue of law enforcement, identification between industrial and non-industrial hemp. But then also I think Representative Hansen raised a really critical issue when we're looking at this as the invasive species, because back when it was produced during the war effort, it became a problem as an invasive species. And if I might, Mr. Chair, on a lighter side.
Yes, please.
Will we have to have another Green Acres hearing?
I wish I did not give you that. But Representative Lemire, do you have any questions or comments? All right. No, we will not.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union. We strongly support House File 759. We've worked and supported this bill for many years. I can remember going to a farmers union meeting when I was farming maybe 15, 20 years ago, and this was a big topic at then Sandra Erickson was my rep, and we discussed this issue quite a bit, and it was very interesting. I think, and then I probably brought this up at meetings over the years in just about every one of your districts with farmers, and I've never really found farmers that are opposed to this. Most farmers are really interested. Not that they do it, but they're interested in it. And it was always interesting to me that you would run into the older farmers who could remember the 30s and 40s, or they know where the twine factory was or the rope factory was in their areas, and some of you probably know where they were in your communities. And so it is something that people are familiar with. And not to mention all the products that can be mentioned that are growing. Another one I've been in contact with lately is concrete, that hemp, that they're looking at that in Canada, that it could be used as, they call it actually hempcrete, that it's a low carbon emitting. Concrete's a large emitter of carbon, and so that in Europe and everything, they're using it for that, and it's a potentially new idea. And then just a couple of quick comments that I've over the years too, I've talked to a few farmers in Canada. I always like talking to the actual farmers and called up there just to ask them some of the ideas. And you mentioned, I think too, is that as near as I can tell, there's about 100 or so farmers in Canada that actually raise industrial hemp. And the ones I talk to, it's quite a process to go through. I mean, if you're familiar with raising corn, alfalfa, wheat, small grains, going into growing hemp, excuse me, is a is quite a issue. Not to mention the permits, storage is another thing. They have to storage and lock their storage. They have to have GPS on their hemp production area, maps and security checks, and so there's a lot of things that go on with that.
So, Mr. Peterson, I thought we had the votes to pass this out of committee until you just made that little slip there.
Interesting in Minnesota, I think it would grow, well from what we've heard. The farmers that I've talked to said it doesn't grow well with wheat, wheat or small grains rotation, but it grows well in a corn or alfalfa type rotation. Its maturity is 4 months. It's a later crop in the year. What's the other one I wanted to make? The harvesting too is an interesting thing. So when we're talking about jobs or anything, I think we are looking at the people that would grow this or get into this in Minnesota would create quite a different niche. You know, whether it's seeds, harvesting equipment. Looking online too at some of the ways you're harvesting it. Either you're harvesting the seed or you're baling. Using some different type of mower too for harvesting, it would create quite a niche, I think, for different things to. And I would mention just the weed control too was another thing that I asked several of the farmers too, and that they told me that that in recent years the control of the weed part of it when it spreads or get is it's they have a lot better control for that now, so that it's not being as big of an issue. So. And one other thing I had was, I'll leave it at that, but I just say we strongly support it and urge your consideration for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions to the testifiers? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Raddatz and Peterson. Would your organization support removing it from the noxious weed list?
Thank you, Mr. Raddatz. Mr. Hansen, or Representative Hansen, we haven't really looked at that issue and didn't really consider it until you actually mentioned it this morning earlier, and I think that would be a real consideration we'd have to look at is the impact it would have if it is growing. The seeds are real light, they can blow in the wind, and it's a real serious consideration we have to make, but we don't have a position on that right now.
Representative Hansen, follow up. Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, we'd be the same way, you know, and I was kind of thinking that too, is that if you maybe it can do both. I don't know. You know, there might be a way where, you know, we have it in controlled areas, and if it's not in the controlled area, you know, then technically, you know, it's in violation anyway. So, where it's not, if we follow the way the law is set up and it goes, so maybe that would work.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, and I think that it's important to get that on the record because the Ag Department has testified that it would still be up to the commissioner's order, so passing this bill out does not affect that. The control would still be there for this discussion to continue on how to deal with the noxious weed question if the bill becomes law.
That's right. Thank you. Mr. Raddatz.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to mention that Farm Bureau does serve on the Noxious Weed Task Force so that we would be aware of discussions that would occur.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Franzen, you have a question?
Mr. Chair, testifiers. So we had our town hall meetings, and I didn't really think about bringing up hemp, but I did talk about medicinal marijuana. It was quite interesting there in Todd County how they felt about that. I was actually rather shocked. So I suppose hemp production might even go further with them. So,
okay. Thank you, Representative Franz. And Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a question. And I think I know the answer, but the use for this hemp is to make rope. Is that correct?
Who would like to take that?
Let me take that.
All right, Representative Kahn.
You have in the materials, and I didn't want to read these to him, but the materials that you have this one, which I don't even have the date on this anymore. But this is from an article in the New York Times about all of the uses. And I would say rope is probably almost non-existent. It would be paper, paper, cloth. The seeds are a very valuable commodity, and so forth.
Mr. Chair, just looking too and talking, and I forget which country it is too. Is looking at it as there's a biofuel too that, and we had some discussion in one That's of right. the years past here that a biofuels. Is something that it could be used for as well. So it's a quite a wide variety. But paper is the one thing I see a lot of use as I was looking around for it. So, yeah. One other quick comment about it.
Yes, please.
Is the production value, typical cost production in Saskatchewan ranges from $150 to $200 per acre. And then they're on average saying that they make $2 to $250 per acre. So you would have to pencil that out in your certain area. It's not like a big get-rich, you know, scheme or anything, but it would work for some farmers in some areas. The other thing is that I see in Canada is that they transitioned a lot of it to organic production, so a lot of different organic producers, because what happened was when they started the, as I understand it, the production in Canada, one of the things they wanted to get rid of were the leaves. They don't necessarily need the leaves, and so they were using like a herbicide to get rid of the leaves. But the people buying the hemp for clothes or whatever, they wanted an organic product. And so a lot of the hemp now is growing on certified organic farms also. So that would be a mix for organic farmers as well. So,
thank you. Mr. Peterson, was it you or was it Representative Eakin that said that up in the northwest part of the state would be very conducive for growing of hemp? Representative Eakin.
Well, that's close to where Representative Monson is.
Okay, very good. Representative Kahn, do you have a couple other testifiers?
One other person, I believe, Representative Dale. Oh. I don't know if there are other people. Those are all I don't know if there are other people wishing to.
Okay, we'll ask.
Former representative. Yeah.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you. My name is Steve Daler. Yes. I'm a former state representative.
Welcome back.
From St. Joseph.
Welcome back, Representative Daler.
I'm not representing anybody except those who are enthusiastic about producing some economic development in the state of Minnesota. And I've been talking about this to people since I think it was House File 1238 in March of 1999 was introduced by myself and five other people. So it's been going on for a long time. This is the first opportunity that I've had to testify on it, so I appreciate Representative Kahn's bringing it up constantly. In the Hemp Times in 1999, it's a little thing on the front page, Jesse Ventura, the first governor for hemp. there wasn't much talking in legislatures prior to 1999 about this, and the article in this paper, let me just show you, talks about hope for the Midwest, and it's sort of relating to what farms could look like if there's no development on the farms. They kind of break down and turn to weeds anyway. What we want to do, and I would imagine that, and I heard you say that the passage of this bill is pretty good in this committee, we want to be enthusiastic about it to all the other representatives so it completely passes the whole House. We don't want our farms to turn into this kind of an issue, and we want to give farmers an opportunity to get some income off their farms with an alternative rotation crop that doesn't take much manure to grow. Other than that, I just wanted to show you the file that I had saved since 1999 dealing with information about industrial hemp. There is a ton of it, and I'm sure that any of you that would just read a little bit about industrial hemp, you'd find out that, oh my gosh, why in the world aren't we I think we are the only industrial nation in the world that does not do this. And I wanted to say one other thing. The U.S. Congress has never, ever outlawed the growing of industrial hemp. There is not any law against it. The only law that is being followed that is against it is a rule done by the DEA. It's a rule. The Congress is not opposed and has never been officially opposed to the growing of industrial hemp. And what we need as individual members here is to forget that there's any connection between industrial hemp and marijuana. The only connection is that it's the same family of plant as far as the difference in the thing. If you read information about hemp, you'll discover that their hemp is unique and unique of itself. And there was a question, what could we do with this? Every single thing in this room, including the carpet, including your clothes, other than the metal, could be made with industrial hemp. And a lot of that technology has been developed through the use of soybeans. When I was a kid, soybeans was pig food, and that's about all it was. But just imagine what soybeans are being used for now. With that, I'm going to end, and if there's any questions. Representative Kahn did not know what I was going to say. So.
Well, so I knew. I had
I don't want to ruin it for her either. Well, I was served as a Republican, by the way.
Mr. Chairman, I'll also point out in terms of when we did get what Governor Ventura ended up doing was, I think he did some kind of an executive order that did a study, and he was asked to do that in the state government finance bill, which was passed and which was authored by Representative Krenke at that time. So we've had a wide range of people working on this issue.
In support of.
And it didn't really legalize hemp in Minnesota, but I think it did get us on the lists of states that had for a while.
One step closer. Representative Daler, are you going to continue helping Representative Kahn move this through as well? Because I think your testimony, along with others, is very compelling. And in the Ag Committee, I don't want to make any assumptions, but like I said, I believe we have the support to pass this on. And I know I've supported this in the past as well. And Representative Kahn brought up our friend, Representative Mary Ellen Otremba, that was supported this in a big way. And we do have quite a road ahead of us to educate our colleagues as well. So I guess my comment was, are you going to assist Representative Kahn as well as this moves forward, or...
If the desire of the author is to have me testify further, I absolutely would.
We'll see what happens today.
So, well, she was trying to clone herself to become a Republican minister early on, you know, so I don't know, maybe this could help.
Well, maybe rubbing shoulders with her could probably produce that. By the way, Representative Otremba was the second author of the bill in 1980.
And the Senate author.
And the Senate author was Roger Moll, and he got it. I don't know how he did it, but he got it through the Senate. But we couldn't get it past the next committee.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony. I believe I'll ask the question. Anybody else in the audience would like to testify for or against this bill? Please make your way down to the front. And we'd like to be voting on this within the next 5 minutes if we could, please. Okay. So please state your name and who you represent for the record and begin.
I hope you're sitting down strapped here. She may remember me.
Okay.
My name is Dr. Will Sandstrom. I'm a retired cancer researcher.
Welcome.
And I spoke up above on human trafficking. As 10 years old, I was picked up and trafficked, and I was lucky to survive. But I'm not talking about that bill. I came down this one here. My good friend is Senator Fred Risser. He's been elected to office longest of any person elected to office in America. He's one of the 14 that's escaped from Wisconsin, down in Illinois. He said, Will, he says, you go up and speak on that human trafficking, because we can't get that bill passed out of Wisconsin. No more can we get this good bill passed in Wisconsin, because we've got the liquor industry very strong in Wisconsin. But maybe there's a chance in Minnesota both their House and the Senate can pass this bill, because as you nice people here know, there are so many young kids, one of my grandchildren, killed, murdered by a drunk driver, not by somebody smoking marijuana. This will reduce alcoholism among the young. But, as Senator Fred Risser says, we can't get it through Wisconsin because the liquor industry doesn't want marijuana.
Dr. Sandstrom.
Sure.
This bill deals with industrialized
right.
hemp.
And there's always a question of, well, if you have industrialized hemp, I'm a geneticist, okay? I got a PhD.
Yes, sir.
There are ways to find out whether some farmer, somebody's growing industrial hemp, has got a certain amount of that interesting stuff that can affect minds.
Yes, sir.
So, you pass this bill, and you can find the biochemists, those people who can make sure that the farmers who are growing this industrial hemp, the strongest clothing and last and last and last, you know, now you pass this bill, kindly. And guess what? I got these lumberjack boots on. Okay? So you all pass this bill.
So, yes, sir. There. So, Doctor, you believe that there would be safeguards then if we pass industrialized hemp to be able to differentiate between industrialized and the others that are the marijuana. Is that correct?
Right. I might add, by the way, in 1970, I was the first person to write molecular genetic mechanism for production of mutation in the DNA level, sent the paper into Nature in London. The person who rejected it took most of the data and got a Nobel Prize.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Pilfer, publish, or perish. But anyway, so I went into politics. I've been in politics in and out. When I guess Dave Obi and on for years and years and years. Been over to Russia, was in jail over there and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take a...
Thank you so much.
The girls trafficked over there, they don't behave, cut their breasts.
Oh.
Goods are no good.
Yeah.
That's why. But anyway, we're not talking about that bill. We're talking about this one here.
That's correct. Thank you so much. Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none. Representative Kahn,
I was looking around my house to see if I had a hemp blouse or anything, but I don't make them myself, and I don't like to spend that kind of money. So all I did have was a hemp necklace, so I put it on for good luck.
All right. So, Representative Eakin, would you like to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that this bill be referred to the Public Safety Committee.
Representative Eakin removes this motion that House File 759 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Public Safety. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative
Thank you.
Kahn.
Thank you very much for the hearing.
All right. Any other items of business? Tomorrow's no committee meeting tomorrow. We're going to be working diligently to get our budget bills put together and take those up the following week. So with that, members, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.